Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is Man Bites Dog, a Doughvestigation podcast from Doughboys Media. Today's story focuses on a hot dog transgression that turns out to be about so much more. It's a story about friendship, a story about growing up, and then yes, ultimately a story about hot dogs. I'm Evan Susser, and I'm joined by Emma Erdbrink.
What's up, Sus?
The story begins with two emails to the Doughboys Feedbag. If you're a regular listener to the podcast, you might remember them.
Let's open up the feedbag. Chirunton writes, "On my last night in New York, my friend of 30 years took me out for a final night of eating and drinking. He also brought one of his insufferable friends, a guy I didn't even know. Then, when I think things can't get any worse, he asks to take a bite of my hot dog and eats the whole thing. Became so enraged, I just left. We later got into an email spat about this incident that almost ended our friendship."
That was the first email. Here's the one that followed.
Today's email is from Sunmoy. So Sunmoy writes, "I'm the alleged hot dog thief referenced in Chirinton's email as read on your recent episode. I was astounded, gobsmacked. Did I really just hear the Doughboy say the name of my oldest friend? Did they really just read his grievance of the hot dog incident, of which I was the counterparty? Did they actually go on to call me a psycho and a weirdo? I feel compelled to offer my side of the story. Chirinton abandoned the last bite of his hot dog for what felt like 15 minutes, and I was under the impression that he was done with his meal. I ate the delicious but cold dog and ate it so that the server would not grab the plate thinking he was done. After I saw the lasers being fired from Chirinton's eyes directly into my soul, I immediately offered to buy him a fresh new hot dog. He did not accept my offer, maintained his rage toward me, and then stormed off and wouldn't answer his phone. There was a tense email exchange that followed. Chirinton, feeling completely justified in his position that I was being a psycho, a position he's still maintaining 8 years later."
After hearing those emails, I felt compelled to investigate, but I wasn't prepared for what I would discover. Today, Emma and I are sitting down with Weiger and Mitch to share the findings of the Doughvestigation.
Wow.
So, hi, guys.
Wow.
Hi. Wow.
What's up, guys?
Wow. This is some serious stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I think that as a listener, I kind of felt like, okay, what's going on here? Is this kind of like a scam that these guys pulled to like try and get on Doughboys? Like, did they exaggerate this? Did they coordinate this? Is this not real?
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people, reacted to the first email and were like, wow, that's a wild situation. And then the follow-up email is what caused them to sort of like ask, wait a minute, what's going on here?
Yeah.
I thought about it. Did I care this much even to the point of your intro? No.
The fans care.
Yeah.
Well, I hope you'll stick with me, Mitch, because I think that by the end of this, you are going to care and you are going to be invested.
Wow. Okay.
To start this investigation, I thought the first thing to do was reach out to Chirinton, who wrote the first email. So, Emma, do you want to play that tape?
Yes.
Wow. Okay. I hope you weren't able to talk to him. He denied all requests.
Can you tell the story in your own words about what happened?
I'll set the scene. I was in New York finishing my residency. It's been a hard 3 years. So I'm like, all right, I'll spend my last night in town with my old buddy, Sunmoy, best friend from, you know, when we were 10 years old. And he brings this guy I've never met. This guy sucks. And it was getting to the end. I'm like, whatever, I'll just go home. There was half the hot dog. And this is what he does. Three big gulps, just takes the whole thing down. And then afterward, and this is the key part of the story that hasn't been communicated. He did one of these, this like Ali G Wagwan kind of thing. Like, ooh, I got ya. So he knew what he was doing. That was the last straw. And I just walk out and I drive to Wisconsin the next day. And that was it.
Wow. And just for the listener, when you said he does an Ali G, you kind of like a finger gun.
Like, well, one of these. Yeah.
Half a hot dog. Yes. And is there any reason that we should trust your eyesight? Do you have any sort of professional expertise?
Well, as it happens, I do eyeballs for a living. I'm an ophthalmologist.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
And I also have a perfect memory.
With Sharantan's professional expertise in eyesight and his self-professed perfect memory, he was quickly establishing himself as a reliable source. I asked Sharantan if he remembered where this hot dog incident took place.
It was a bar in New York called American Trash, appropriately enough.
Wow.
So this fight is from a hot dog from a restaurant named American Trash.
Yes. Well, okay. Technically the hot dogs came from another restaurant and they sold them at American Trash.
Where did the hot dogs come from?
You know, I don't, red something. I don't remember that.
We'll try and get to the bottom of that. The insufferable friend. What exactly was insufferable about him?
Everything you said, he had to one up you, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's like, oh, mm-hmm. I went to England. Like, oh, I've been to Scotland. Like, oh, great. Yeah. You know, big deal. And then every choice you make or whatever, something you talk about, he's got some negative comment. You know, man, shut up. I'm trying to enjoy my last night in New York. Can you just leave this at the door? I wanted a special night with my buddy.
Are you and Sunmoy still friends to this day? Or did this hot dog incident have long-lasting effects?
So, I mean, I don't know if it ended the friendship. It changed things.
Wow.
So we hung out after on and off. And, like, things are just weird. I think it was Thanksgiving of 2018 or something was the last time I ever spoke to him.
I'll just be completely honest. When we got both emails, we kind of thought that maybe it was a put on.
Is this a joke?
That maybe you guys were in on it.
Did you see the video? Is that what changed your mind?
We saw the video.
The posting date of the video changed my mind.
Here's what you need to know about the video that Sharantan is referencing. A few months after the hot dog incident, a bunch of Sharantan and Sunmoy's friends did a dramatic reenactment of the email exchange between the two of them that followed the hot dog incident. The friends were kind of making fun of both of them for how childish they both acted. It was posted on YouTube 7 years ago and is as much proof as you'd want that this wasn't all fabricated for the Doughboys. So, if it wasn't all an elaborate plot to get the attention of the podcast, what was really going on here? Did this hot dog incident really destroy a friendship? And did these two estranged friends both somehow listen to the same dumb podcast? I asked Sharantan about this.
Were you aware that Sunmoy also listened to Doughboys?
No, and I don't know how he heard this. Because that's not his sense of, he's a Barstool sports guy. I don't know what he listens to. Who knows?
I'll be honest. After talking to Sharantan, I was more on his side than I thought I'd be. But of course, I'd only heard one side of the story. That's why I needed to talk to Sunmoy. Here's my conversation with Sunmoy.
My wife actually has the text messages from that night. And now we're looking like some details. And it was just like, oh, I'm going with Sharantan and David. And then like a few hours later, I'm coming home now.
What happened that night with Sharantan?
So we've been friends forever. Like when we first moved to America in like 1985 and moved to Wisconsin. And I'm sure you can imagine there's probably like from India. And there's you know, 15 Indian families. They're all friends, you know, so we've known him forever. So there, you know, there's a history of like, you know, I can know how to push his buttons and vice versa. It's just family, basically. So we're probably just joking around a little bit. Maybe he's annoyed and I wasn't picking up on it. I just kind of remember like thinking he left the hot dog for a long time. And we're in like the New York mindset where like, everything's expensive. We need to finish everything. Like,
sure.
I don't know. Maybe that was something, you know, perhaps that was in our brains. And I just felt like it was too long. And I kind of just ate it like sort of pretty obnoxiously, I'm sure.
Do you listen to Doughboys or how did you hear the email?
Yeah. So our friend, we mutual friends, right? We are still in touch, you know, forever, pretty much for better or for worse. And he told me Tutan had a listening party to this podcast he listens to. I had heard a couple episodes. I listened to like a Wendy's episode or chicken, but best mm-hmm. chicken sandwich. So I was kind of aware of it. And he told me, he's like, he had a listening party to this episode that he'd written in on and told him about the hot dog incident. And he wrote in and told him the story. I was like, what? And then like, then he said, you know, some of the episode and I listened to it. And then I wrote in.
So you'd listened to a few episodes of Doughboys.
Yeah.
Was Doughboys not really for you?
The actor's on some Netflix show, so I'm kind of aware of the voice. And it's funny, yeah. But I'm not a huge fan. Like he's having a listening party. I just like,
what? Yeah. How much hot dog would you say was left?
I mean, probably one or two bites. I mean, it was a marginal. It was like the last, you know, less than a half.
So when we spoke to Sharantan, he said it was half.
Yeah.
Let's say 49% if half. If you want to do half, 45, it was definitely less than half. It's definitely less than half.
And the way he described you eating it was kind of like a cartoon, like duck, you know, eating it. And then he described that you did kind of like an Ali G, like finger gun afterwards. Does that seem accurate?
God, that could be possible. We sort of got obnoxious to each other sometimes. I mean,
yeah,
I think he may be embellishing it. The hot dog size for sure, maybe the Ali G thing, but you know, some essence of that maybe afterwards.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he remembers like that. So I feel bad, you know.
Wow. Can I just say, I'm not sure how serious Mitch is taking all this because he spent most of that clip eating yogurt. And I just don't know if his attention was focused.
I was laughing.
Okay.
You can't listen to something while you eat yogurt?
You can't tell how serious he's taking it by how much he's laughing.
I'm aware that there's some humor here, but I would like you guys to take this seriously. So after hearing that,
yeah, I got a question kind of for what, you.
Yeah.
For like your solo monologue pieces, when you're like, after talking to them, I thought, you know, when you're doing that stuff, are you doing that from the bathroom and also possibly from the toilet?
We're working on the sound for that. So after hearing both sides, I think our takeaway was they both felt like real guys and it felt as real as could be. I don't know. What did you guys think after hearing them on tape?
Well, I want to know. I mean, I did like the background into their friendship and I almost want to know more about that. Cause you know, they grew up in Wisconsin together. Oh, Sus is nodding. So it seems like we get into this a little bit of why they were in New York City together. And you know, I'm wondering about this annoying friend. He's fascinating to me.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Who is this character?
It's funny that the one guy likes Barstool and doesn't like Doughboys.
Well, but I was like, is he trying to say he's that type of guy or does he actually have a fandom of Barstool? Cause that's more struck me as like, he was trying to sort of. That to me honestly sounded like he was trying to win points for his side with the Doughboys Patreon audience of like saying like he's kind of a Barstool guy, you know, he's not like a Doughboys type of
fan. When immediately he loses points for Wags and I, we don't like that he likes the show.
Yeah.
So after hearing it, I mean, there's actually not much disagreement about what happened.
No.
You know, Sharantan says half a hot dog. Sunmoy says a little bit less. He does say that he ate it. There's a little bit of a disagreement about how long it was sitting around. Would you guys say you're on one side or the other on this?
Yeah, I'd say I'm on Sharantan's side. I think that he seems like he... I would also be annoyed if this happened to me. And then to hear the details that he did this Ali G, I can see it all too much. I can see this happening and it's annoying me, and I would be mad as well if someone ate my hot dog and then did like an Ali G finger gun thing. I believe that to be a thing that could, especially then. That's like an annoying guy thing in 2007 or whatever. That's real.
Mm-hmm. Sure. But also, Mitch and I are all too familiar with playful antagonism between old friends. Mm-hmm. And that seems like Sunmoy and Shiranton had that kind of dynamic. And it may have been one of those things where it was just sort of like, hey, this I thought was playful and lighthearted. And if anything, this was an act of love. And you took personal offense, perhaps due to the circumstances, perhaps because of your headspace. Wow. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I need to hear more to render a verdict.
I don't know if you're curious at all about what the hot dog was. Does that matter? Like, does it matter? Was the hot?
Yeah.
Okay, Emma.
That's honestly the most important detail.
Emma, can you hit play?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, weird. You found out?
On the next episode of Man Bites Dog, we keep talking to Sunmoy and get a big break in the dovestigation.
I remember it was American Trash. And there's Red's char-grilled hot dogs.
So this is a tease for a next episode?
Yeah, I was thinking this is kind of divided into like five parts so that maybe we could spread this across like an entire month, maybe really build the suspense.
I mean, what are we like 20 minutes in? We're gonna release this as multiple episodes? Feels pretty thin.
Fine. Okay. We'll do it all. We'll just keep going.
Okay.
All right. Good.
Man Bites Dog will continue right after this word from our sponsors.
Oh boy, Mitch. Mother's Day's coming up. You got sweaters, candles, the dreaded bathrobe. Mm. Unfortunately, Mother's Day gifts can be a little predictable and boring. That's why an Aura frame is the perfect gift to mix things up this year. Named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter, Aura frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
Dreaded bathrobe covering mom up? Ugh.
Get that sweater off of you. Too many layers.
Wags, that's right. You know what? I'm guilty. I've given my mom too many of these boring gifts.
Yes.
Some sweaters, some candles, some dreaded bathrobes.
I've accidentally given my mom the same gift twice.
Wow.
It's really embarrassing. Or you end up getting like, oh, I guess I'll give you a gift card. I don't, you know, like it doesn't feel like there's any love behind that.
Well, guess what, Wags? I've also gifted my mom an Aura frame. That's right.
Wow.
This is the truth. Aura frames are Wi-Fi connected and come with unlimited storage so you can share as many photos as you want from your phone to mom's frame.
Not only will she be grateful it's not another sweater, she'll also love that an Aura frame means she gets to see more of you.
That's right. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's Aura, A-U-R-A, Frames.com. Use code DOUGHBOYS at checkout to save. And you know what, Wags? My mom liked her Aura frame so much. Is this true? She got my sister one, and now my sister's got one in her dining room.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Terms and conditions apply. Send photos you want from your phone to mom's frame. In fact, Mitch, I'm going to send your mom a photo right now.
The hell?
Enjoy, Mrs. Mitchell.
I love you, Mommy.
I love you, Mommy.
You're talking to your mom, right?
Yeah.
Wags, welcome back to our friends over at Diet Smoke.
Wow, welcome back. Diet Smoke has sold over 10 million THC gummies across the U.S. for a reason. With strengths ranging from 10 milligrams to 150 milligrams, Diet Smoke promises you'll find your new favorite THC gummy.
The team at Diet Smoke sent us gummies, and we love them. My favorite is the Pineapple Express gummies.
You know who else loves those Pineapple Express gummies? Ramondi. He can't get enough of them.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you want something strong to unwind, a euphoric boost to keep you going, or a light dose for a mellow high, Diet Smoke has you covered.
You know how you're looking to feel, and their weed sommeliers are on call 24/7 to help you get there. Diet Smoke is so confident in their gummies, they'll let you try them for free.
You heard that right, free. Exclusive to Doughboys listeners, go to dietsmoke.com/free, pay $2.99 for shipping, and your free pack will arrive at your door in 48 hours.
And if you already know and love Diet Smoke, use code DOUGHBOYS at checkout for 50% off any item.
Don't settle for less. Join the Diet Smoke community and discover the buzz for you. Visit dietsmoke.com/free today to get your free gummies and enjoy your journey to cannabis bliss. Do it.
This is Man Bites Dog, Episode 2, The Dog Hunt.
So, Sunway remembered that it was Red Star Grill's hot dogs. And wow, they were kind of like located in American Trash.
Points for Sunmoy, by the way, just to remember the dog.
Yes.
Yeah, very important detail.
So it was Red's Charred Grill, and they were located in American Trash. They like had like a partnership or something. It's actually a hot dog chain that's like their main stores are in East Aurora in upstate New York. I was like, okay, Red's Charred Grill hot dogs. Let me get on the phone and try and see what the deal is with these hot dogs.
I assumed you were going to get on a plane.
We thought about it. We thought about it. We thought you'd notice the charge on the Doughboy's credit card, though. So we just called them.
Right.
So let me get this straight here. You called up a hot dog company and you asked them about their hot dog?
That's correct.
Here, you can listen for yourself.
Red Star Grilled, how can I help you?
Hi, this is Evan Susser from the Doughboys podcast. I'm actually calling because I'm investigating a hot dog dispute between two friends. So yeah, no one from Red's would go on the record with us. In fact, even that hello is actually my wife, Jamie. I kept calling and kept calling Red's, and eventually one of the employees was willing to talk to me, not on the record. And what he said is, look, if you're curious about the hot dogs, you don't want to talk to us. You want to talk to the butcher who makes the hot dogs. That's the whole thing with the hot dogs. And it's a butcher from Buffalo named Wardinsky and Sons. And guess what? Skip Wardinsky was willing to get on the phone. Wow. Now, I should warn you, we had some trouble with Zoom, so his sound isn't perfect, but it was definitely worth it.
My name is Raymond M. Wardinsky. I'm the owner of Wardinsky Meats in Buffalo, New York, founded in 1919 by my grandfather.
And I can call you Skip?
Yes, absolutely.
So, Skip, I'm calling today because I'm investigating a dispute between two friends involving a hot dog. The hot dog was from Red's Char Grilled, and I understand you're the supplier for them. Is that correct?
Yes, so you're talking about Red Top, right?
In East Aurora?
Reds?
Yes.
Okay. No, there's also a Reds.
And you are the supplier of the hot dogs? Mm-hmm. Basically, the situation is these two friends, one of them ate the other one's hot dog, which you guys make, and it basically caused a rift in this friendship. They've been friends since they were 10 years old. Now, is there anything you think special about your hot dogs that are so good that it would justify that rift in a friendship?
So what kind of rift are we talking about? Meaning he ate the friend's hot dog and he didn't like it, or what happened?
No, he loved it. Now they haven't like seen or spoken to each other in 3 years.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Crazy. Crazy.
Can you talk about your process of how you make the hot dogs?
You know, basically hot dogs are sausage. We make a lot of different sausages. Mm-hmm. But I always say, you know, you use good meat, a tasty spice. The meat's important because it depends on how soft it is. Different meats have different density to them. So, I mean, I probably worked for 30 years on getting the right bite and taste on our hot dog, and probably haven't done it for the last 10 years just because we get so many compliments on our product.
So it does seem like they're pretty good hot dogs.
I mean, we get calls every week. Okay, so this is nothing new. So when we hear, you know, from you that, you know, some people that liked our hot dogs, we get calls every single week.
Did you hear that? He gets calls like this every single week. Did he mean calls from other humor-adjacent food podcasts? Or perhaps he meant calls about friendships ending over his hot dogs? Either way, I knew what I had to ask next.
I'm in Los Angeles. These two guys are in the Midwest. Are you guys...
Oh my gosh.
heck? Well, they were in New York when they had the hot dog.
Yeah. You're used to going, you're used to Pink's over there.
Yeah, right. It's right down the street from me.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, I was looking on your website. I understand you do ship.
We use a company in town here that ships.
And will they ship across the country?
Sure. Yeah, they actually have a flat rate on shipping.
On the next episode of Man Bites Dog, I tell Mitch to open the package I delivered to his house this morning. That's right. It's one of the hot dogs.
Wow.
Again, a next episode tease. I think it was maybe a little presumptuous to have Emma edit those together, you know, to play midway through the podcast.
Fine. Because okay, it feels we'll just like keep we can rolling. Maybe do this we'll in keep one. Doing the whole. We'll keep doing the whole thing. So, all Mitch, right. Can you show yes. Weiger and Emma the box that I dropped off?
The box. He gave me a box that looked very much like the box from Seven.
What's in the box? I hope it's a hot dog.
Now, Sus, when you said there's a Pink's right down the street from you, were you in line at Pink's?
Yeah, right down the street. It's a long line. That's why the audio wasn't so good.
Look, if any good comes from this investigation, I hope that people give Skip a lot of business. That's right, Irma.
Yeah,
I hope Skip gets some good. What a great sport he was. But
such
here we go.
Champ.
Yeah, it really seemed like
here's
it.
The box that Susser dropped off at my house today.
So it says on the outside, man bites dog, do not open until instructed by Evan Susser, and there is, it appears to be clip art of a hot dog.
Okay, so Mitch, at this point.
Very expensive looking clip arts of a hot dog on the front of it. It's great.
Did you make that in Microsoft Word? Did you open up Photoshop? What happened?
I did it in Microsoft Word.
Did you scan an actual hot dog? Oh, okay.
Okay, Mitch, so seriously, open up the package.
Okay, I feel bad cutting through the. Well, you know what? There's one on the side, so I'm gonna.
There are plenty.
I'm gonna cut through here.
Sus actually wallpapered his house with that, so don't worry about it.
So just to say, what we're gonna do here is, I have the hot dogs for Mitch. They are raw, so I would like him to cook one of the hot dogs, then cut half of it. And then I would like him to let it sit for about 8 minutes because that's kind of, you know, the amount of time it was sitting. And then while he's doing that, I've got some more tape from our conversations with the guys that I'll play for you.
Okay. I got a little cooler here.
Yeah. Mitch has a cooler with hot dogs. And I just want to raise one concern with Susser's plan, which is that I don't think Mitch can leave the hot dog alone for 8 minutes.
I had that concern as well.
Okay.
Okay, Mitch, have you been able to figure out what I got for you in there?
Yes, I have them here. Here they are. There. How do you say the last name here? Wardinsky's?
Wardinsky.
Skip Wardinsky. Yeah, Wardinsky.
Wardinsky's hot dogs. Gluten-free, dairy-free, found in 1919, finest quality. I got these with a natural casing. I got them right here, these hot dogs. I also
have a
bag. I have a bag of buns, three buns.
Wow.
So I can cook two more hot dogs, correct?
Yes.
Okay, all right, good. And then I have a bottle of Sir Kensington yellow mustard and some Heinz tomato ketchup, no sugar added. Now, Sus, are these what were the toppings on the hot dog at the bar?
I don't know if we know that. Do we?
Well, it's been deleted from the tape.
Detail.
Wow.
Because it's a banh mi hot dog, which was going to be too impossible to recreate.
Got it.
We're going by quality of dog alone. Quality of dog alone.
You didn't think I'd be asking these questions, did you?
But I think that for these purposes, you'll get a sense of the hot dog.
I agree. All right.
The Mitch is going to start cooking these. The banh mi hot dog. So are we talking about it had like some, you know, some pork or some beef on top? Or was it just like the, you know, the carrots, the onion? Was it a banh mi bun?
In telling a complex
narrative audio story, you have to leave out certain details.
Got it.
The banh mi hot dog part, I decided to leave out. Let's not get focused on the banh mi hot dog. I don't know is the
My question to you is, how would you like me to prepare these hot dogs? Because I got an air fryer, I got a frying pan.
I think an air fryer would be pretty good, based on my research.
Okay, you want me to air fry these dogs? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to air fry two hot dogs.
Okay.
Hot dogs. And Wags, if you decide to eat meat again, we'll happily provide you with some hot dogs.
And Sus, I can hear through my headphones, so if you want to keep going, I can listen while I prepare these.
Okay, great.
Great. So, as you guys know, it's kind of referenced that there was an email exchange between the two guys. So, in kind of digging deeper, I thought that would be a pretty good place to start, is to get back on with Charantan and ask him to read from some of that email exchange. And I'm going to be upfront here. This email exchange, you know, it goes into some details. Some parts of it have been, you know, kind of abridged, but this very much keeps the nature of the exchange. So, Emma, do you want to hit the clip for reading from the emails?
This was July 2nd, 2013, to Sunway. Hello there. We're finally moved in Madison, so I finally have some time now. I wanted to write an email and help clear the air. It's easier for me to do this than over the phone, where emotions can run high. I want you to read this email in its entirety without coming up with counterarguments as you go. My last night in New York didn't really go as I wanted. As you know, the night started out on the wrong foot. I'm sure your friend David is very nice, but he was complaining basically 100% of the time. So already I was out of it. Then when you ate the rest of my hot dog, which admittedly in the scheme of things is completely trivial, it made me more upset. Set aside the fact that I paid for your food and beer. Oh yeah, I did pay for his food. What bothered me wasn't and still isn't the fact that you ate the hot dog. It's how you reacted after. You saw that I was upset, but instead of apologizing, you attacked me and called me names. At a certain point, I decided I just had to leave the situation because if I didn't, there would just be a back and forth and we would both get more upset. What I still don't understand is why you did it. I know it's a trivial act, but I don't understand your motivation in doing it. It was just rude. Would you have done it if Sophia were around or Mary? Were you trying to get a rise out of me? If so, why? I don't need to be challenged by my friends in that manner. I'm getting too old for that kind of thing. You are free to behave however you want. But at this point in my life, I'm starting to have almost zero tolerance for negativity and drama. Part of growing up is realizing actions have consequences. I'm really sorry the night turned out that way, and I was probably being dramatic and overly sensitive by just walking out on you. So I apologize for that. Please let me know what you think.
So reading that back, so my understanding, it's about a week and a half after the incident takes place, right?
Just about, yeah.
And it seems like that's coming from a pretty earnest place.
Very earnest.
Yeah, you were pretty yes. upset. And I think you actually even... at the time, you have the self-awareness to recognize, you say multiple times, I understand this is trivial.
Thank you. Yes.
But it does bother me.
It's the principle of the thing.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, you didn't ask.
And then there's also another part of it, that there's a real bittersweet undercurrent about growing up and feeling too old for these childish kind of behaviors. Yeah. Can you talk about a little bit about what was going on in your life at that point?
Well, it was a time of transition. I mean, I'd finished residency, which is a hard 3 years. You know, it's like all the TV shows. It ended up being a weird time in my life after that. After moving, a lot was going on. So it was already this, you know, emotional cauldron that I was dealing with. And I don't know if it seeped in that night, but it was definitely there underneath everything. Mm-hmm. But I was... in all honesty, I was genuinely mad about that. And it was, you know, because of...
I believe you.
That's very clear.
Sunmoy responded to that email the next day. I asked Charantan to read that response.
So this is Sunmoy. I sincerely thought you were done with it. You hadn't touched those last two bites for about 10 minutes before the bathroom. And when I came back, it was still there. I guess I reacted in the way I did because I couldn't believe you were that upset over a cold hot dog, of which I would have happily bought you another. I was expecting we'd eat again and drink a bit more in the evening. Anyway, it's not a big deal. I'm glad you're getting settled into your new life. Transitions can be tough.
What was your reaction receiving that email at the time?
It was a mix of just shock and exasperation. I knew from the first line he was not going to apologize. I was expecting a mea culpa, a quid pro quo, something. But it was, I sincerely thought you were done with it. That's how we're starting the email, you know, and I poured my heart out. And then the last emotion was anger at myself for expecting an apology because, you know, this is this guy. This is what he does. He just doubles down.
You say in the email that you have zero tolerance for negativity and drama.
Yep.
Some would say that sending an email is maybe showing some tolerance for drama.
Some might say that, like Mary, my wife, has said that repeatedly.
Now, do you still have zero tolerance for negativity and drama?
I mean, I'm 41. It's not that I don't have tolerance for it. I don't have time.
Right.
I don't talk to anybody. You know, I wake up, I see my kids, I go to work, I come home, I see my kids, I go to bed.
So that's the email exchange.
That's the same age I am. The difference is that he's an ophthalmologist and I have a fast food podcast. Christ.
That was also what was really interesting to me as we started investigating this, is that these are not like high school kids when this happened who are like 25 now. These are like grown men with families who like really have dug in on this thing.
It seems to me that may just be the root issue, is that we've got, you know, maybe one guy who's still, you know, like acting like old times and another guy who's kind of like, you know, grown up a little bit. And I think that seems like the rub in the dispute. Mitch, how are those hot dogs going?
The hot dog is currently in the air fryer. Now, may I toast my bun is a question I want to ask.
No.
Wow.
Wow.
All right. Another question about the bun is you gave me loose buns. You gave me a bag of three buns. Mm-hmm. So was that because are these old buns? Did you want to keep some of the other buns? Like, what was the deal with the three loose buns?
I wanted to keep some of the buns because in order to order hot dogs from Wardinsky & Co., you had to buy three packages of that size. Also, I need to speak to both of you about being reimbursed for shipping the hot dogs.
I'm starting to see the whole scam here, why this whole investigation took place in the first place.
Okay, well, while we're still waiting on the hot dog, I asked Sunmoy about the emails. And Emma, do you want to play his response? It's been, at this point, a week and a half since this night out. And you get that email.
Yeah.
What was your reaction at the time?
I guess part of me kind of expected it. And then part of me was like, yeah, I can't believe it. We're both doubling down on what we were doing, I guess.
And what's your reaction here reading it now?
I mean, I'm a little embarrassed by everything, first of all. So I still feel like it was a little too intense for him to get that upset. I think because after offering the hot dog, I feel like that's it. Like, let's, you know, move on. And so when he didn't move on and accept it, then I was like, went nuclear, I guess.
The person who's described as your insufferable friend, David.
Yeah, David.
Do you think the description of David as insufferable is fair?
I think he can come off as that, but the other mutual friends we have, they're also friends with him.
Do you think he would be willing to talk to us?
Oh my God, probably not.
Understandable. So you wrote back to his email, and what's not included in your response is an apology.
Right. Did you think about apologizing?
I thought I apologized by offering that another hot dog. I guess that's not an apology, but it's like admitting
you
that.
You could say in some ways it's even better.
Yeah.
I thought it was better. Yeah, I thought we were just fine. I didn't, no concept, obviously, that a decade later we're going to be talking, you know, obviously.
Sure.
I would have said. Okay. But we were immature. I don't know. We're in 20s still, I think. Or
You guys basically grew up together.
Yeah, I'm about 7 or 8 years old.
And very close friends.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you still close friends?
I would say he was my friend forever, you know, but like we haven't hung out in forever.
Do you think this hot dog incident is why?
Well, it was like maybe just like a perfect storm.
Wow. Wow.
I have a quick update.
Oh.
I've tracked down the menu for American Trash in New York City from back when they had Red's Chargrilled hot dogs.
Oh my wow. God.
Here is the banh mi hot dog. Mayo, fresh cucumber, pickled daikon, carrots, cilantro, and fresh jalapenos. Sounds pretty good.
Wow.
Wow.
So.
Well, you'll just have it with ketchup and mustard.
This big whole project, Wags basically got to the bottom of one of the issues during a sound clip. He found out the impossible.
My big question for Sharantan and Sunmoy, if I were to, if I could talk with both of them, would be why opt for the banh mi hot dog over the loaded baked potato hot dog, which includes sour cream, bacon, Monterey and cheddar cheese, French fries, and fresh scallions. That sounds great.
I think that's amazing. The investigation.
But at the core of all of these hot dogs is the same hot dog.
That's okay. Yes. Fair.
Fair. That's fair.
Mitch, how's it going with the hot dog?
Well, it takes 6 to 8 minutes to cook a hot dog in the air fryer, and we're about 3 minutes in. So you could you could probably go to it. And then don't I have to wait another 6 minutes? I think this is going to be done after the episode.
Okay.
I have a question for Mitch.
Yeah.
Was your air fryer already on the hot dog setting?
Yes. It was.
Okay, look, I know we're not doing the multiple episode thing, but we still have it all broken up with trailers. So, Emma, you just want to play the next trailer?
Yeah.
On the next episode of Man Bites Dog, the story gets a little more complicated.
I was thinking about this when you emailed me, and there was actually another almost friendship-ending food transgression after this.
That's wow. Ridiculous to see. The thing is, so we're planning to have a barbecue among, the same kind of group of friends. We've been, friends for a long time. It could have been at any of our houses, right? And my sister and I actually wanted to have it at our house.
I think if you'd saved the episode preview until now, you almost could have gotten an extra episode out of this. Like, it'd be like, okay, yeah, this could be a two-parter. But I think getting to it so early.
Getting to five episodes was maybe a little greedy.
Maybe a little too ambitious, but this could have been a two-parter. It looks like Mitch has a hot dog on a fork right now.
Mm-hmm. I have the hot dog. It's done.
Okay, great. So now we need to let it sit.
Looks great.
It looks beautiful.
Fuck, that looks so good.
I'm reaching into the bottom bed, which is weirdly wet, by the way. Here we go.
Well, it was surrounded by, ice. I don't know.
We can't tell. It looks like what Mitch is doing is putting, it's below frame, but it looks like he's putting the dog into the bun.
That's right. I put the dog in the bun. I'm going to put ketchup. Now I have to get a plate to cut this fucking thing in two. I forgot about the cut in two thing.
Do you not normally get plates when you make food?
Great question, Emma.
Not hot dogs.
He stepped away from the mic.
Not hot dogs, he says.
Right, that thing's going from his hand straight to his mouth.
Yeah.
It seems like the crux of the whole dispute is sometimes when someone is like hurt by something you did, even if you meant it like playfully or in good fun, the right move is just to offer them a heartfelt apology. And I do feel like if Sunmoy had done that, this would have been much less of a brouhaha.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. And also what's interesting is talking to Sunmoy, despite the characterization from Sharantan, he's kind of more thoughtful than you'd expect.
Yeah.
He even recognizes that offering a hot dog is not an apology.
Right.
So it kind of, honestly, it is kind of sad that they really, it's not like the dramatic, like he ate his hot dog and then they never spoke to each other again. But it is true that they were like very close friends. And
I got fucking mustard on my, I got mustard on my sweatshirt. I got fucking mustard on my
sweatshirt. Do you have some soda water? Or micellar water?
Mitch, you have soda water?
I don't know.
You have something with some effervescence, right?
Micellar water will do it, or just some ice cold water. laundry spray, soak it.
You have a Tide pen?
I have some old soda water.
Susser, what's your stain dressing regimen?
I throw it away if I get a stain on it. And so I just go through clothes like that.
And you must go through fucking outfits constantly. All right. I use tonic water. I'm not sure if that works, but I tried it.
That should work.
And I'm going to cut this hot dog in two. I think it's been a few minutes since this has come out of the air fryer.
Yeah.
Yep.
So here's cutting it in two. Nice. The casing has got a nice crisp casing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Natural casing, right?
Mm-hmm. All right. It's been cut in two. Now, how long do I have to wait?
Like a few more minutes.
Before we get to that, I know Sunmoy said not to reach out to the obnoxious friend.
Wow.
Wow.
But I did it anyway.
Wow.
I reached out to the insufferable friend, David, the third party in this. Do you want to hear the clip?
Of course.
And also, I feel like compared to like us and our friends, he's probably just normal.
Hello?
Hi, David.
Evan?
Yes.
What's up, man?
As you can hear, David's audio has been modified to protect his identity. I started the interview by asking if he remembered the hot dog incident. After all, it was 8 years ago.
I do remember this, yeah. Well, here's the thing. It's like vague memory because like it was going on in like the background of like my evening that night. You know what I mean? Like, I think it was like, what was his friend's name?
Charantan.
Charantan was like, he was like leaving town or something like that. And so like, they're just talking the whole time. I was just totally ignored. Like I was literally about to leave when I sit back down and there's this like weird tension. And these two guys are, like, pissed at each other.
Do you remember what they were pissed about?
Yeah, it was, like, one of them ate a hot dog?
Yeah, like, Sunmoy ate the rest of Charanton's hot dog.
Okay. Okay.
One part of the Charanton's email, he describes you as kind of insufferable. Is that something
What does that mean?
Well, he said that you kind of were one up him, and that you kind of were negative. Is that something that you've ever been told before?
I don't think I'm negative.
Got it.
And in terms of being insufferable, I'm not even sure the definition of that word, but it's just like I've suffered.
Sure.
As much as anybody else has, even more. If he wants to say shit about me to some podcast dude, like, he can say it to my face, that I was insufferable. Maybe he was insufferable, and that's why he couldn't, like, keep my attention at the table. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Maybe he was insufferable, and maybe that's why, you know, he got his hot dog ate or whatever.
What he described is that you kind of were, like, one-upping him a lot. You know, if he would say that he went to London, you would say that, oh, I've been to Scotland. Is that something
I have been to Scotland.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. I also just went to Australia.
So you felt a little left out that night being the third friend, and like they were kind of ignoring you?
Yeah, you could say that. I'm like a third party to this thing. So like, why am I getting like mixed up in your hot dog drama? Like, why am I 8 years later on a podcast, like taking like almost 45 minutes off of work? I'm literally walking around outside in the parking lot right now of my work. Like,
where do you work?
Dude, don't fucking do that. None of your business.
So do you think it's, you know, normal or absurd or whatever that Sunmoy and Charanton are still fighting about this hot dog 8 years later?
I don't know, man. It's like, honestly, it's like none of my business. Do you know what I mean? Like, I thought you guys were going to ask me more questions about me. This is the first time I've been interviewed by anybody.
Got it.
Isn't that fucked up? Because I'm an interesting person, you know what I mean? I just got back from Australia.
So, everything's been real up until...
Yeah.
So that was
That was David. And
okay.
As you can tell, we used a voice modulation.
Right. Yeah, which seems weird because he wanted to be interviewed. Like, were you afraid that he maybe sound like too much like someone we know?
who do you think he would sound like?
I don't know. If I had a guess, like, immediately when I heard it, I was like, this is Mookie with a low voice thing. But that does, I mean, it was David, of course.
Yes.
But.
Well, in the interest of journalistic integrity, I will admit that we did, in painting this picture, reach out to an actor to do this. And the actor was a man named Michael Blakelock. And
okay, so that is Mookie.
And so, yes, David did not want to participate. But I thought to, really paint a picture of what this evening was like. That was my idea. And Mookie's and Emma's of what the Insufferable Friend was like. So that's just kind of
I like that
in the mix. Okay.
I like that.
This is a huge journalistic liberty. You know, this is like in the Anthony Bourdain documentary where they used a computer to simulate things that Anthony could have said in the narration. Like it was like it's like a little bit of a breach of protocol, but I'll allow it.
Well, hold on. You know what? I've never listened to Serial before. Did they do stuff like this in Serial?
Yeah, they do this a lot.
I think so, yeah. I honestly think this has more journalistic integrity than Serial, from what I've gleaned.
Yes, Mitch, at this point, eat the hot dog.
Okay, I'm going to take a... I'll take a picture of the hot dog as well.
Oh, yes, please do.
All right, great. Mitch is angling the camera down below frame. Let's hope he's taking a pic of the hot dog.
Now, Sus, you also had some of these hot dogs yourself?
Oh, yeah.
Mitch is taking a bite of the hot dog.
I'm going to say this.
Yes.
Fantastic hot dog.
Wow. It's a great hot dog.
That's a great hot dog.
That was the whole thing is when I got them shipped, which I thought was maybe a little silly. And then I had it and I actually thought, you know what? The hot dog is really good. That is an important part of this story.
The hot dog is fantastic.
It's a very good hot dog. And you guys have just come off of a month where you've been eating a bunch of hot dogs, and I think that's as good as any hot dog.
This is one of the best hot dogs I've ever tasted. The meat is great. I'm not lying.
Yeah, imagine amazing. That with some mayo, fresh cucumber, pickled daikon, carrot, cilantro, and fresh jalapenos.
Now, it is slightly cooled, yes, and it's slightly cooled, Wags, but I would be mad if someone ate this half. Oh, by the way, I'm going to eat the second half just for scientific reasons.
Now, is the temperature of it right now cold or cool room temp, or is it still kind of warm?
It's room temp. It's room temp to cool, but it's still, the hot dog is so good that I would be mad if someone ate that half of my hot dog. I would be mad.
Yeah, I get that.
I'd be mad. So
it kind of sounds like you would kind of start to feel like Sunmoy, we were sympathizing with him a little bit and being like, hey, you know what? He offered to do another hot dog. He seems like a reasonable guy. He's kind of showing some contrition, but now that you've had the hot dog, maybe you're back to Charenton side?
I'm going back to a Charenton side because the hot dog is that good.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, to go back to the original Doughboys episodes, when we read the initial email, it seemed like, you know, before Sunmoy wrote in and replied, it seemed like what this guy is doing, eating your hot dog, is completely unreasonable, and I totally get it. And then you hear a little bit more context, and they have this sort of playful history of this sort of back and forth of razzing each other, and you start to buy Sunmoy's side a little bit. But then just hearing how good that hot dog is, I think that kind of tips it. Yeah.
It's a game changer.
Well, and not to pile on, I mean, the tease, there was another transgression between the two of these guys, which I think also demonstrates the relationship. So, Emma, do we want to play that clip?
Yeah, here you go.
This is after the hot dog. He invited 5 additional people to a barbecue at my house that I was hosting, like in July.
This was Sunmoy?
4th of July, yes.
Okay.
Sunmoy. And I lost it because I'm alone. You know, Mary's at work. I've got the baby. I got to host like 20 people and now 25. Oh, and by the way, one of them is a vegan. So I can't, I got to do his stuff around the grill first. I mean, it was just a mess. And I blew up at him. I will admit that. He said I went Mel Gibson on him. Okay. I mean, nothing racist. Okay. Just got real mad.
I'm wondering, as you tell these stories and you tell this kind of odd couple friendship you have.
Yes.
It reminds me of a certain relationship with two men I'm very familiar with. Do you think part of what drew you to Doughboys was you saw a certain reflection of you and Sunmoy in the Doughboys?
You know, now you got it. You got me on that one. I think that dynamic mirrors so much of our friendship. The like, Weiger's the earnest guy with the hidden rage, and Mitch is the, you know, aggro, lay it on the line kind of guy. And it's just,
right.
Yeah, that's kind of perfect.
Would you like to reconcile your relationship with Sunmoy?
Boy, okay. I would be up for it. If I mean, he hasn't done anything that is like a ender, you know?
Right.
It was just sort of like it petered out. You know, it's that kind of thing. And like, he was always family. It's like, we have these kind of squabbles where we act like kids, whenever we get together, we don't act like friends or adults. You know, we act like children because we've known each other since we were 10. So
what would it take, I guess, to like kind of reconcile? Is it an apology for the hot dog incident? Is it an apology? It's that. That's really, that would be the first step.
Genuinely, yes, because he never has.
On the next part of this one and only episode of Man Bites Dog, we attempt to repair a friendship.
Yeah, I want to move on.
You want to move on?
I feel like, you know, it's been 25, 30 years of being friends. Yeah, I would want to, yeah.
But before that, it's time for a word from our sponsors.
Hey, Mitch. I feel like during the summer, pretty much everything I'm doing outdoors is making me thirsty.
Yeah, I'll tell you what the issue is. That blasted sun.
Curse the sun.
Curse the sun.
Giver of life, but also...
giver of heat.
Giver of a dehydrator in chief, I'd call it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Summer requires extraordinary hydration because of the sun, you know, that's like built for everyday dehydrating moments. Yes.
The moon is cool.
Moon's real cool. When the moon is out, there's never a doubt. The moon is cool.
And when the sun's up high, you can't deny it's gonna be hot, 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 hot. Anyways, I think that we've expressed that the sun gets you hot in the summertime.
It sure does, and the moon keeps you cool. Liquid IV hydrates you with benefits like electrolytes, essential vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients.
Mm-hmm.
With three times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink plus eight vitamins and nutrients in a single stick, it's clear why Liquid IV is the number one powdered hydration brand in America.
Wags, that's right. And you know what? It's so easy to just tear open a packet of Liquid IV, pour it into a cup, mix it up with some ice cold water, and drink it down. My favorite flavor, strawberry.
It's a hydration multiplier.
That's right.
Gets you even more hydrated, and it's easier to stay hydrated while traveling. And you know what, Mitch? We like the taste.
I love the taste. And you know what? I love that I'm getting all those electrolytes and I'm not getting filled up with sugars.
Yeah. I love the smell too, and it helps you out, not just while traveling, but after a big night out. You know what I mean?
Come on.
Come on. The moon is cool.
Cool.
The moon is cool. Cool. Tear. Pour. Live more. One stick plus 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone.
And Wise, it's got three times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, eight vitamins and nutrients, non-GMO, vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, soy-free, and now sugar-free. We got white peach.
Wow.
Green grape.
Wow. Raspberry melon. And lemon lime.
That's right, Wags. Turn your ordinary water into extraordinary hydration with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code Doughboys at checkout.
That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code Doughboys at liquidiv.com.
I love Liquid IV. You know why?
Why?
Because it's cool. Cool.
And the sun It's hot, hot, hot.
This is Man Bites Dog, the final chapter. Bark and bite.
Wow. Wow. By the way, during that segment, I've now put an additional hot dog in the air fryer.
I thought I heard some beeping happening.
Yeah, we heard some beeping going on.
I'm making a second hot
dog. That's how good they are. You're going for a second.
Mm-hmm.
If I've learned anything from my friendship with Mitch, and it's not just that's not the only antagonistic, you know, interpersonal relationship I have, but it is probably one that I think about a lot because we are not only friends, but we work together. And so we're in frequent communication. And also when you work with somebody, it's just sort of like you know them in a different way. And Mitch, I'm curious your side, but like there's never really where you get, let bygones be bygones. We're going to move forward. You never really reach that point of like complete closure and then just like everything's fine from that point on. There's always going to be cycles of like something's going to happen. You're going to have a little conflict. You're going to resolve it. And then you're going to, you know, then things will be okay for a bit. But eventually things will bubble up because that's just how the two of you interact.
Are you talking about Good Morning America or something?
Well, I wasn't bringing that up specifically, but that's an example of the kind of thing. It's never really buried.
Wags, I think you're right. I think that, I mean, it's a really interesting thing here. Here's what I'll say. I actually do believe this happened now.
Me too.
And me too.
I believe that these two are as big of losers as we are.
And they didn't go that far. They don't have a podcast.
All right, good point. They did get into a fight over a hot dog. I do believe that this has happened.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to think of what would happen, Mitch, if you and I had this exact same incident.
First of all, it would never happen because I would never do that. You know that it's a rule. You don't do that. Which honestly brings me back to Sharantan's side is like I wouldn't steal your food. I'd like that. That to me is that's one of the seven deadly sins. Wags, you don't do that.
No, I've watched you guys share many meals, and you always ask politely before taking or trying something that's on someone else's plate.
Yeah, that's true. By the way, we are Emma's in the East Coast on the East Coast, and we've been recording this for long enough where it has gotten dark where she is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I need to go turn a light on.
What did you guys think of the revelation that Sharantan saw a mirror of his relationship with Sunmoy in the two of you?
I mean, I was just surprised it took you like explaining that to him for him to understand it.
By the way, Sus, is Sir Kensington's like a super stainy mustard that you gave me? Because the stain's not coming out. It's like
how much
joke.
Mustard did you get on your sweatshirt?
Just a drop, and it's not coming
soak
out.
Soak it in ice water.
Now, here's a question. My hot dog is ready. That's not a question. That's a statement. Sus, you can hear it beeping. I'm going to go get it in just a second here. What was the deal with David? Do you actually talk to him, and he just denied you? I want to hear that.
Sunmoy asked on my behalf if he would be interested, and the answer was he really didn't remember anything from the night. It was 8 years ago. And so he didn't remember anything and then also did not want to participate.
Right. That's fair.
Wow.
So when Sharantan told me that, like, he saw this reflection, my thought was, hey, as someone who's kind of the mediator between two people with a similar dynamic, why don't I kind of insert myself here and try and mend this friendship? So I'm not going to play the tape, but I also called Sunmoy again and was talking to him. And I said, look, do you want to be like friends with him? Do you want to I think he's kind of looking for an apology. Like, is that something you were open to? And he, you know, as you heard in the clip for the trailer, he was like, yes, he's been we grew up together. Like, I want to be friends with him. It was a long time ago. I have more perspective than I did at the time. Like, let's do this. So I got back on with them and you'll see how I did it.
Wow.
Hi.
Hey. Shranton, thank you for getting back on the Zoom. I really appreciate it.
No problem. Yeah, no problem.
So first of all, I want to follow up. I have done some research into the hot dog incident.
Okay.
And I'll say, first of all, I definitively believe now that this is true and this happened.
Yeah.
Second of all, there was a question of where the hot dog was from, which you didn't remember.
Mm-hmm.
I've discovered it was Red's Charred Grilled Hot
Dog. Red's Charred Grilled, yeah.
Which was located inside American Trash in the Upper East Side. And the butcher that they use for the hot dogs is Warditsky and Sons.
Oh, okay. Wow. So, good job, so, Gumshoe.
The other and more pressing issue.
Yes.
Is on the last interview, if you remember, I asked if you were open to reconciling with Sunmoy.
I remember.
And you said yes. Do you still feel that same way?
Yeah, I think so. We'll give it a shot.
Okay. Well, are you prepared to give it a shot right now?
Sure.
Okay. Well, Emma, can you please add Sunmoy into the Zoom?
Yes, I can.
Oh, boy. He's here.
He's here.
Oh, my God.
Hello. Hello.
I'm here.
Wow, there he is.
The reason why we're here is because of the hot dog incident. Well, we, at this point, listeners are very familiar with every step of it.
Oh, boy.
Shranton, you know, you've said that you've kind of been looking for an apology from Sunmoy. Sunmoy, are you prepared to give that apology?
I am, but I'm also prepared to receive an apology as well.
is that right? Oh, from whom?
You know it's from you.
From me. Okay. Okay.
Guys.
Years of vilification for something I do not need to be vilified for. Years.
Guys, we're going to get to all that. As Shranton knows well, this is what I do. I like to mediate disputes between friends. So are you sorry you ate the hot dog without asking, Sunmoy?
Yeah, I'm sorry, your last bite of the cold hot dog that you hadn't bitten for 15 minutes.
Okay, well, thanks for the editorializing. I liked the first part of that. The first part of that was great. But then you just had to slide in the other stuff, huh?
Guys, there's
a statute of limitations. It's been too long, and there's been too much vilification of my behavior, and I don't think I've done that much to, you know,
you're talking some legal mumbo jumbo right now. I'm talking about the court of public opinion. Okay?
Yeah, that's on my side too.
They're with me. Are you kidding?
Wow. So sus.
It went really bad. It went bad.
Wow. Just like you try to mediate Wags and I, and you do a bad job of it there too. I don't know why you had this idea that you were good at it. You're bad at it. Anytime we try to do it with Wags and I, we get more mad at each other, and that happened here. They're pissed.
They got really mad at each other. It was so funny. When I spoke to them both individually, they were reasonable, and then they both got really mad. And like clearly, like I think it was a little bit maybe performative, like, for the podcast or for the other one, but like they just like truly like just both came in like needling each other and pushing it, and it was like, I mean, that dynamic, like I could just see it, like after like being talked about, I was like, oh god.
I'm kind of liking the Sunmoy guy,
but I didn't give up.
Wow
That's right, I didn't give up. Emma, let's go to part two.
Just say you'll be friends for the podcast, please.
Since I'm not having much success with Sunmoy, I'll switch to Shranton.
There.
If this is your friend, if this is a person that you love, that you, you know, you have this close bond from being friends from when you were 10 years old, if you know that this is how he is, why not just let these kind of things roll off your shoulder?
I mean, it's a couple things. It's the Charlie Brown and the football. Okay. That's me. That's on me. Just expecting contrition. The other thing is these things are designed to make you look and feel like an idiot. and there's no way out. It's a trap. Okay. Mm-hmm. You tell anybody else, oh, he ate my hot dog. They'll say, so what, it was 8 years ago. What's your problem? But you weren't there. You weren't in the moment. You didn't see this business with the fingers.
Yes. I know about the fingers.
You didn't see.
I don't know if that happened.
It's burned into my brain.
As someone myself who likes to push buttons, Sunmoy, are you willing to admit that you like to push buttons?
Yeah, and we can get to it very quickly because of how long we've known each other. But I don't want that to be the centerpiece like of our friendship. I remember, like, and Tuthan, you remember this, like the first full like belly laugh, like full body laugh I had was when I was probably like 7 or 8. It was at your house in some sleepover. I remember like the pullout couch in the first house in Whitefish Bay, maybe.
In Whitefish Bay, yeah.
Yeah, and then I remember watching that some cartoon, and the cartoon characters were like, they're talking about artichokes, but they're saying, are they jokes? Are they jokes? And it was like also talking about an artichoke, and that was just like sublimely funny. I've never had a laugh like that before, and it had been like that, you know, for many years after that. And then somehow we became adults, and we had to become serious or something. All of a sudden, I'm like a bad person on all these different events. And yeah, but I know I have pushed your buttons over the years. Like, as soon as I sense that you like want contrition, I'm like, I'm going gas pedal the other way. Yeah, I don't know. It's a two-way street a little bit, but.
Okay, so yeah. I remember that. That was, the show was Nickelodeon's Count Duckula.
It was a
very funny moment and very bizarre and,
yeah,
you know, set the tone. I think it's just that, you know, I was at a point where like, I don't want that anymore for my friends. Like, why are you pushing my buttons? I mean, we're 40 now. We were 33.
Now that Sunmoy's with you, I see the pushing buttons and all of that. But when I spoke to Sunmoy one-on-one, and as you'll hear on the podcast, he spoke very lovingly of you. And he also expressed that he wanted to, you know, patch this up. But it seems like there's something that we just can't get past the hot dog thing. So it's basically one of you has to give. It's basically a situation. I would like both of you to give. What I was hoping for coming into this is that suddenly you'd say, I'm sorry, I should have asked for eating your hot dog. And then Sharantan, you should have said, I shouldn't have sent you this email. And in the future, when you push my buttons, I'll recognize that that's who you are. And that's why I love you. And you guys could move forward with that. It seems like we're a long way from there.
Okay. I will concede here that sometimes I hold a grudge. Fine. You know, for stupid reasons. Sometimes I overreact. So yeah, I probably took it too far. I dug my heels in. The email was a bit much.
Did you have anything to say back to that?
Yeah. I mean, I guess that's true. Like he I think he maybe, especially because he was in the transition phase, maturing, and I probably shouldn't have been needling him. And I had a lifetime of needling. Maybe he's just had enough. So, you know, and I regret that because he's one of my oldest friends and we do have had some great times and great laughs and stuff. So, you know, I would want to move on, you know, but, and I'm not like, you know what I'm saying? We're 40, I have 3 kids at home. Like,
I know.
Responsibility. I'm not going to really needle you.
Yeah, I mean, we weren't parents then.
Yeah.
which is a total game changer. And yeah, we have had a lot of good laughs. And I mean, that's, you're talking about, you know, almost 30 years now. I mean, we had a lost few years in there after all this, but that's a lot of history. That's a lot to bury.
Here's what I'm going to propose. As I told Sharantan, I've been doing some research into the source of the hot dogs. As you know, Sunmoy, it was Red's Charred Grilled Hot Dogs.
Yeah.
I spoke to them, and I asked them who their butcher was, and it was Wardinsky and Sons. They're located in Buffalo, New York. They basically are available only on the East Coast, but it is possible to ship hot dogs, and you can ship hot dogs to the Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
Now, look. I know one of you is in Chicago, one of you is in Wisconsin. I know we're in the midst still of a global pandemic. But at some point, I am authorized to spend the money of the Doughboys to ship hot dogs hot dogs to, ship hot dogs to one of you on the condition that the other one comes over and you guys have a barbecue and you kind of get together again.
And you bury the hot dogs, so to speak.
And you bury the hot dogs. Is that something that you guys would like to do?
I mean, Thanksgiving, we're always home. I mean, that would be nice.
My kids are 6 and 4. Your kids are how old now?
6, 4, and 2, yeah.
It's been a while. The Doughboys reuniting friends.
Wow.
Wow.
So in the end, they're not like us at all. They have children.
And that's the investigation, guys.
What an investigation.
Fantastic, Sus. Sus and Emma, what a job. Just fantastic work.
Really
Wise,
well
what
done.
Were you going to say there?
I was going to say, like, I was trying to think of, like, what our friendship will look like after we've known each other for 30 years. And I was doing the math of when we met and how old we'd be, and I don't think we're going to get there. I don't think it's looking good.
Side-by-side gravestones.
Yeah.
What a happy ending, Sus and Wigs and Emma. A happy ending for all.
Very, very, very nice. They seem to have come to some sort of, you know, detente. And and hopefully they do get together and have that barbecue.
Yeah, we can keep checking in with them. I have reached out about shipping the hot dogs to them, and I'm still waiting on a reply. So, you know, who knows? But I was glad we were able to kind of get to the bottom of this, and we were able to get on Zoom and, you know, try and sort this out.
You should also send them the Doughboys Venmo so that they can send us cash for those hot dogs as well. That will be that will be important. Sus Emma, I smell a potty in your future. I feel like you're going to win a potty award.
Yeah,
because this is just fantastic work.
You'll be nominated for a potty, but you'll lose to the office ladies.
I don't want to say it was a waste of time, but...
Well, Emma, I think, really is the hero.
All right, well, Emma, great work.
Emma, great work.
Sus, great job recording in your bathroom, and I don't want to say that it's a waste of time, but I really just have no other description for it besides that. But you know what? The best waste of time I've ever had.
Hell yeah.
Was listening to this investigation.
Honestly, feel like I actually have some closure and honestly some clarity on just what exactly happened, what exactly transpired. The biggest thing for me is that just knowing this wasn't a work, knowing this wasn't, feeling confident that this wasn't just, you know, two guys who had some sort of scheme to get themselves onto the Doughboys podcast. Rather, this was an actual dispute.
And who would want to do that really in the first place? We should have known that all along, is that no one would really come up with a scheme like that to get on the Doughboys.
If that was a scheme, they did more work than we did.
Yeah. Yeah.
I should also say that I spoke to Sharantan's wife, Mary, and interviewed her, but I couldn't find a good place in the story to include her interview. So I feel very bad about that. But maybe we'll kind of over the credits.
Yeah, she corroborated everything we needed.
Maybe over the credits, we'll kind of include some of her interview.
Wow.
Wow.
Also, there are going to be credits.
Jesus.
How do you roll credits in an audio format?
I think you just read the. I think you can just have someone read them out, and then just have some music underneath it.
Man Bites Dog is a Doughvestigative podcast brought to you by Evan Susser and Emma Erdbrink. It is created in partnership with Doughboys Media. The outro music is by The Loving Spoonful. John Sebastian, Mark Sebastian, and Steve Boone. New lyrics written by Nicholas Weiger. Recorded and performed by Danny Fitch. Special thanks to Sharantan, Sunmoy, Mary, Jamie, Mookie Blaylock, and Skip Wardinsky.
They're very different in terms of their interests and to some extent their personalities, but he's that person who, you know, it became very clear to me very early on that they love each other, right? That they were kind of, I'll do whatever you need me to do, always, right? I'll always kind of be there. unless a hot dog gets in the way.
Hot dog simmer in the city. Grate on my grill, getting greasy and gritty. Toast bun, don't it look pretty? Sucking on a dog like you're sucking on a titty. Pork and beef, sausages and long bread, rolling on a roller grill, mustard and relish. One bite, it's a different world. Swap dog bites with a girl. Munch on, munch on, and chomp all night. Despite the farts, it'll be all right. That taste, when the casing has snapped later that day, you'll for sure have to nap as it simmers in the city, like you're sucking on a titty.
Boys Media.